God. Well, you know, he said, if two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And we believe that. If we didn't, we wouldn't be here, right? Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come in your presence right now. I ask you to have your way. I give you all praise, glory, and honor. You alone are worthy of it all. And I ask you to bless this word as it goes forth in the auditorium, but also as it goes forth out into the internet, because I know that you will supply the need that's needed in whatever situation there is. I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was telling the people that my printer wasn't working this morning, which it wasn't. I normally print my notes out, so I don't have them printed out, so I got to kind of wing it a little bit today. But I'm gonna start off in Ephesians, the first chapter. Okay? I'm going to get a couple different translations here. Ephesians, the first chapter. My goodness. Lord, you sure are good. You sure do take care of us, and you knew what it was all about, even though we didn't from the beginning, but you did. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, in Ephesians, the first chapter, Paul starts off an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from our God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of the grace wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom we also trusted after we heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to tell you, you know, I love that, because Paul's laying it all out there, and he's basically saying, you know, we think that we chose God. We have a tendency that we can actually sometimes point back to the day, and even sometimes the hour, and even the place sometimes of where we gave our life to the Lord. But I got news for you, and the news is this, that you didn't choose him, he chose you. And that before you were ever even came into this world, he knew exactly what he was going to do with you. He knew exactly the moment, the hour, the minute that you were going to make a commitment to him. He knew it ahead of time. He actually, I feel like he preordained it. Because when he talks about predestination in here, you know, that you've actually been predestinated for wonderful things in him. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. And you know, you're going to be, if you haven't come into the fullness of it yet, you're going to be kings and priests unto God. You're going to be more than conquerors through him that loved you. You're going to be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you within. And I don't care how much of a failure you feel like at times, I want you to know that you're no failure in him. Because he's already paid the price for any failure that you feel like you've made. And he's already forgiven you for anything that you feel like you fell short in. And he knew you were going to fall short before it happened. He gave you the opportunity to choose one way or the other. And sometimes you chose badly. But guess what? He loved you anyway. And he had his hand in your life anyway. You know, I can remember as a little boy, mother taking me to a lot of churches. Back during the day when I was growing up, in the 50s and 60s, there was some pretty heavy moves of God around the country. And, you know, a lot of healing ministries going, a lot of things going, and God was doing some miraculous things, you know. I can remember her taking me one time, and she didn't drive, so we usually went with somebody else. We used to go with this friend of hers, Lydia, and her husband, Brad, and sometimes they would take us, you know, they'd hear that there was some real hot move of God in Columbus or here or there or somewhere. You know, and back during the day, back years ago, a lot of times you can't get people to drive 2 miles to come to church. But back during the day when people were really hungry for the Lord, they'd drive 100 miles to go to church. They'd go just because they heard there was a real move of God going. And you know, a move of God doesn't happen by chance. A move of God happens because of the people, because of their prayers and because of what they seek after the Lord, and according to his will, it happens. You know, I can remember one time we went up to Middletown. We used to live in Western Hills, you know, down in Cincinnati. So down in Cincinnati, Western Hills, out to here is 20-something miles. And up to Middletown is about another 10 miles from here or so. So you're talking 30 miles or 40 miles, you know, and you're talking round trips. So you're talking about, you know, basically it's like Buddy and Brenda, they make that big long drive every Sunday, and God's going to tremendously bless them for doing that because, you know, they're hungry. They want to hear the word of God, and they're feeling like they get fed, I'm sure, or they wouldn't come. I don't think they come just for the donuts. You can go to you can go to King Quick and get some donuts, you know. But you know what? A lot of people in this day and age, they've got a lot of excuses why they don't gather together with the body of Christ, you know. And, you know, they want to turn on the evangelist on the boob tube and listen to him, and that's church for them. And that's okay if you can't do anything else, that's fine. But, you know, a lot of times you have to get together with your brothers and your sisters so that they can rub you a little bit the wrong way and rub some of the rough edges off of you, and maybe you rub a few rough edges off of them. And, you know, I remember hearing a lot of preachers say, when they'd share a word, they'd say, either say ouch or oh my, you know. And sometimes when you hear the word, it makes you want to say ouch because you know it's really hitting you between the eyes. But I want you to know God is in control. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's not one day late. He's not 1 minute late. He's on time, God. We've sang that song for years. May not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. And you know, sometimes God has to try you in your faithfulness to see if you're faithful. And, you know, I'm going to read you a little bit of that out of another translation, out of the Message. But I'm gonna tell you a couple of things before I do that. Well, over here, when it says in verse 4 in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And it's always got to be in love, because he's the lover of our soul. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And we're to be an expression of his love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. And I love that word adoption there, because it literally has the meaning in the Greek of the placing as a son. He's placed each one of you as a son of God. Now, you may not be the fullness of it yet, but you're going to be. We were talking about that a little bit back there in Sunday school. In the Gospel of John, it says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And it's the word technon back there. And that word technon means a son, little son, little boy. I mean, that's the connotation that it has. But whenever it talks about Jesus and it says he was the Son of Man, you know, it uses the word weos. And weos is not talking about a little boy. Because whenever it talks about Jesus being the Son of God or a son, it lets you know that he was the weos. He was grown. And when he came in a different nature than what we started out with. A lot of people like to think that we were all real perfect from the beginning and so on and so forth. I know that we were born of Adam originally, and I've heard people talk about Adam, and they try to dress it up and make it sound better than what it is. But you go back and you look at the name Adam, and the name Adam also has the meaning of a hypocrite, a man of low degree, and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? We all fit that criteria once in a while. Because sure enough as the world is, you can say somebody, you can see somebody overtaken in a fault, and you can say, oh, I can't believe that brother did that, or I can't believe that brother lied about that or did that. And I'll guarantee you, donuts to dollars, that it won't be too long and you'll find yourself in that same situation doing exactly the same thing, not maybe exactly, but something very similar, to where you did the same thing that you were criticizing that other person for. You know, when I came in this morning, Debbie, I asked Debbie how she was doing, and she said she was doing okay, and you know, and she said, I'm not complaining. I don't complain. I don't remember exact words, but she, nobody will listen anyway, she said. Yeah, I can't remember exactly what she said, but yeah. But you know what? We spend a lot of time complaining. We complain about this, we complain about that. And you know, the thing about it is that we don't realize sometimes how blessed we really are, you know. A lot of people in the world have a whole lot worse than we have it, you know. But anyway, he wants to place us as a son. We've been adopted into the, some translations say we've been adopted into the very family circle of God. And you know, when you were adopted into that family circle, he gave you the name. And when he gives you the name, then you have all the authority that name carries. But you've also been placed under, Scripture tells us, under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And sometimes, if he gave us all the authority that we have that belongs to us as we grow up, we'd make an absolute mess of it. You know, I like the vision that I heard this preacher had one time, and he said that, you know, he says all creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God in Romans 8th chapter. And he said he was driving along in his car, and I hope he pulled over, but if he didn't, I guess God was took the wheel. You know, like that song, "Take the Wheel, Jesus." Because he said as he was in his car, and I believe he was driving down the road, and he said God opened up his eyes, and he said he saw animals and stuff by the side of the road. And he said they were all weeping. And he said every place he looked, you know, all the animals and all the things that he was seeing was weeping. And he said, he kind of questioned God, and he said, "God, why are they all crying?" He said, "Because all creation is groaning and travailing, basically waiting for you to grow up," is what he was saying. "Because they're going to be set free into glorious liberty." And oh man, think about that. I know God had to take the wheel. I'd have run into a telephone pole if it had been me. But now, you know, think about that. You know, all creation, not just all mankind, all creation. You know, there's a scripture that talks about coming a time when the lion will eat straw and to lay down with the lamb, you know, and that kind of thing. You know, and God's talking about the natures there of a lion. You know, a lion's nature is to be predatory, you know. I've seen people who've been lion trainers and stuff. I've actually watched it before, and they'd think they had that lion under control. Well, something had set it off, and next thing you know, that thing was chewing on their arm or something, you know. Well, you know what? There's coming a time in the lion nature that gets in you, the unruly nature that gets in you, where God's going to bring it all totally in control. And the lion in you is going to lay down with the lamb. And when it lays down with the lamb, another lion's going to replace it, and that'll be the lion of the tribe of Judah. And that lion is going to break every band and every bond that tries to bind you. But anyway, I wanted to tell you a little bit about that. And you know, and he talks in verse 10. He says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things. How many is all things? We've talked about that many times. All things is all things. It's everything. In Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. We're all going to find our fulfillment and our actual completion as we grow up into the Lord, into that headship nature, up into that full nature of what his desire was for us when he said it, when he first made man, "Let us make man in our own image and our own likeness, and let him have dominion." But it's a growth process, and we've not seen too many men. I don't think we've seen any other than Jesus, to be honest with you, at this point, who have come to the fullness of that. But I tell you what, it's coming, and you got to just believe that he's going to do it. You know, "in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." You know, years ago when I first got saved, I don't think I'd even started coming to church yet. And I was reading Ephesians there, and it was like the Lord just made that jump off the page at me when I saw it. And it just, I just seen it, and I thought, "Oh, God, you're totally in control. You're in control. If you work all things after the counsel of your own will, then that means nothing happens unless you allow it to happen." We don't understand it all the time. We don't see the full picture as to what is accomplished in the thing, but you do, and you know exactly. And you know, when it says he works all things after the counsel of his own will, there's a scripture in Peter that says he's not willing that any should perish. What? He's not willing that any should perish? What about all them daggone scriptures where it talks about being burned up and this and that and all that other stuff? It's because we don't really understand what we're reading most of the time. We're not reading it with the eyes of the Spirit. We're reading it in a natural, with a natural mind. And when you read it with a natural mind, you're going to see it on a level way down here. But when he opens your eyes to see it with a spiritual level, you're going to see it way up here. Because the thing that needs to be burned up is the nature, the ugliness, the unbelief, and all the other things that create all the problems in our lives and in the world out there. And, you know, there's coming a time when he's going to burn up the elements. And the elements are the very things that make up what you are, you know. Well, you know, he needs to burn up the things that are not of him. You know, when Moses went up into the mountain and he saw that bush burning, and I've heard people try to explain that away. They say, well, there's a certain kind of bush. There's a certain kind of bush in the desert. They don't tell you what the bush's name is, or they've never showed you the bush. But they say, oh, there's a certain kind of bush in the desert that sometimes it'll just ignite and catch on fire. Well, that could be true. I'm sure it gets really hot in the desert. But how does it keep from being consumed? I know if I catch a bush at my house on fire and it burns and keeps burning, that bush is going to deteriorate into carbon and be nothing but carbon and fall to the ground. But, you know, Moses had grown up around the desert. I'm sure he had seen just about everything in the desert that you could see. And yet, when he was tending the sheep and he looked up on the hillside, he said, I got to turn away and see this sight. This is something I've never seen before. And he walked up the mountain and to where the bush was. And when we got up there, God spoke to him and said, loose the sandals from off your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And Moses took his sandals off. And I asked the Lord a long time ago, and I've shared this with you before. I asked the Lord a long time ago, I said, Lord, why'd you have him take his sandals off? And I felt like he said, because I don't want anything between him and the holy ground that he's standing on. He has to stand on that holy ground. And I know we used to sing a song a lot, and we sing a lot of old songs, and all these songs come back to me. And you'd be surprised how much songs will minister to you and how much truth is in them. But we used to sing a song, we are standing on holy ground. And I know there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus, praise him now. We are standing on holy ground. And you know what? Everywhere you go, you're standing on holy ground, because he that's inside of you is holy. And wherever your presence is, his presence is there. It's magnified because you and him make a majority, you know. And, you know, any place you go, you're standing on holy ground. And we have to come to the realization that we've got to quit telling ourselves that we're less than what we are, and that it's a someday thing. It's not a someday thing. It's a gradual growing up into Christ. And he is taking the veil off, and he's beginning to make our eye be single that it might be full of light. I've heard people talk about the pineal gland a lot in the last few years, and they say there's a pineal gland in your head up here, somewhere in this area up here, and they call that the third eye, you know, in a lot of the things that you read. You know, I don't know about all that, but I'm going to tell you what. I know with these two eyes down here that if my vision is not single and I start walking down that aisle there and it gets double vision, then I know that I could fall over one of them chairs or anything else, because I can't see reality. I can see two things that look the same, which is real and which is not. Well, you know, with single vision, you know which one is real. There's not two things there. And you know, he wants us to become one with him. And as our eye becomes single, in other words, our vision when we look into the things of God becomes single, we'll begin to see the reality. In the epistles of John in the J.B. Phillips, John talks about one place. He says, you know, it basically says back here, behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are you the sons of God, but it not, doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we see him as he is, we'll be just like him. And I love the way the Phillips says it. It says that if reality were to break forth, we would be just like him. And it's time for us to begin to move into reality. We need to start proclaiming what God's word declares. We need to start speaking the reality of God. You know, I was telling them about this song I've got on a CD, and I don't even know who sings it. But it's a great worship thing, and it's really good. And one of the songs is, we're going up to the high places. We're going up to the high places. We're going up to the high places. I said it three times. You know, that's funny how God puts those threes in everything. To tear the devil's kingdom down. And it goes ahead and says all that he has was ours all along. But you know what? We give him power that he doesn't deserve to have. Because, you know, I heard old preacher say one time, he went by and he saw this devil sitting on the street corner, you know, sitting on the corner crying. And he walked over to the devil and he says, hey, what are you crying about? He says, because I don't get to do everything everybody blames me for. And you know what? You go in a lot of churches, it's the devil this, the devil that, the devil, the devil, the devil. My scripture says give him no place. Don't give him no authority. Don't yield to that authority. There's no real authority there. You know, you're kings and priests unto God. You know, when Jesus was walking down the road, and there was a man who come out of the tombs that was tearing his clothes off and getting wild, and he was just a wild man. He was crazy. He went nuts. And when that person saw Jesus, he began to cry out. And he says, have you come to torment me before my time? Not the man, the spirit that was in the man. The unreality that was inside of him. And he said, if you would, bid me go. And he said, into the herd of swine over there. And that spirit ran to that herd of swine, and guess what it did? Ran off a cliff and killed itself. You know what? We're going to have to come to the place where I believe God's going to do some wonderful, mighty, powerful things as we grow up in him. I believe we're going to begin to start speaking a word that's in a word of authority, a word of release, a word of when somebody has a need, that their need is met instantly. You know, they went into town one time, and they didn't have no money to pay the taxes. You ever get in a position where you didn't have a lot of money? Well, sometimes we get there, you know. So far, the Lord's always met all my needs, and I haven't really been there too much. But I tell you what, I've had times when the Lord has sent some money my way or something, and I didn't tell nobody I needed no money, you know, and I didn't think I needed the money. And I actually tried to talk the person out of giving me some money because I didn't need it. But guess what? Very shortly thereafter, I needed it. God knew I needed it. And God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And we need to start trusting in him and knowing that he will supply our needs. We're gonna get to a place, like I say, and I honestly believe this. The hour's declaring where people are dissatisfied. They don't trust the government. They don't trust hardly anything anymore. People are just not very trusting. And I have to say, I have gotten so many calls on my cell phone where it says scam likely, scam likely. Almost every time I get a call, it says scam likely. You know, and I don't know how they got my name, unless I won't say the devil. The devil must have given them to them. No, I don't know. I don't know, but I get a ton of those things, and I tell you what, it's aggravating sometimes. And half the time, I don't even answer my phone when somebody calls, unless it's a number I know or unless it's something I'm expecting a call from. But you, but I tell you what, God knows. He's in control of it all, folks. And I'm going to read you a little bit of what we just read there and what we talked about. And I didn't go into all this. You know, I'm going to read you one more. I'm going to read one more here, 13 and 14, because I like this. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you had heard the word of truth. And remember last week when we talked about the Urim and Thummim? And remember what the Urim was? Truth. That's what it was. It's lights and truth. That's what it was. Light and truth. And you know, when you have the light, you have the truth, because you can see things for what they really are. And it says, heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And I love that word sealed, because that word there means a signet ring. And you know, in olden times, when the king sent out any proclamations, if you went in and you talked to the king and he told you, well, go over here to the Jehovah Witnesses, if he was sending you over there, and he gave you a proclamation and he said, okay, here's my proclamation. And he said, now, I'm going to take my signet ring, and he'd pour some wax on there, and he'd press his signet ring into there. And the minute that you walked next door and started talking to that person, they could say, well, who are you? Why are you over here talking to me about this stuff? But when you presented them with the document that had the signet ring on it, then the authority of the king was there. And it was like the king was standing in front of them and said, okay, this is what I want you to do. And you know, in them days, if the king told you to do something and you didn't do it, guess what? You usually lost your life. That's right. Off with your head. That's what he used to do. But you've been stamped with a signet ring. You have the authority as God directs you to use it. But I want you to know you have that. You've been sealed. You've been stamped with the signet ring of the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I've told you all this before, and the way God sometimes gives me things, he will give me something in the natural graphically that I can actually line it up with. Margaret and I first got married. Any of you that are older, anytime you used to go to the gas station, you'd go to the grocery store, you'd go anywhere like that, they had Top Value stamps and S&H Green stamps. And when you purchase something, they'd tear you off so many of those Top Value stamps or so many of those S&H Green stamps, depending on which kind they had, then they'd give them to you along with your receipt. Those Top Value stamps and those S&H Green stamps, you could go and get a book and you could glue them in the book. They were just like a regular stamp you put on an envelope. You could put them in the book. When the book got filled, it became valuable. And when me and Margaret first got married years ago, she furnished a lot of our house with Top Value stamps, because we would, every time we'd go to a gas station or go to a grocery store, they'd give you these stamps. She'd save up those books. She bought pictures and she bought knickknacks and she bought all. She took those things to the redemption store. And when she took them to the redemption store, she turned them in. And she knew if you had, seven books of this or something, you could get that picture that you wanted. Or if you had 10 books over here, you could get that clock or whatever it was. She pretty much furnished our first apartment when we first got married with Top Value stamps and with S&H Green stamps. So when he's talking about that believe that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, or that signet ring, which is the earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And you know what? You've been redeemed, and you can use God's top value stamps whenever he wants you to use them. You can use his S and H Green stamps. His top value stamps are way more valuable than the world's were. And you know, after a while, the world starts getting pretty chintzy. Anything they were giving you, they start taking it away because they realize that they're losing some money there. But they used to have to do that stuff to get you to come and buy gas from their gas station. And I can remember when gas was like a quarter a gallon, you know. I used to put $5 worth of gas in my car and drive it for a whole week. Can't do that no more. $5 will just wet the top of the top of the entrance hole just about. That's about what it does, you know. But I just want you to know you have a promise in God. His promises are yes and amen. And we need to start claiming his promises. We need to start thanking him that his word never returns void, and that whatever he bids us to do in a situation, that we've been given the authority and the power to do it. And quit saying, oh, well, I'm just not sure it was God told me to do it. I'm just not sure. Well, you know, it don't make any difference whether you're sure or not. If he told you, the only way you're ever going to find out if what he told you was him is to be obedient and do what he told you to do. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to read just a little bit to you out of the message, and then I'm probably going to close. Verse 1 in Ephesians, this is the Message Bible, says, I, Paul, am under God's plan, and you could put your name there instead of Paul's. Any one of you could say you're under God's plan. He has a plan for you. What was one of Mike's favorite scriptures was, I have a plan for you. It was to give you good and bless you and all these other things. Where's that at, Mike? It's in Jeremiah. All right. That's a wonderful scripture. And you know you need to claim that because he does have a plan for you. I, Paul, am under God's plan as an apostle, a special agent of Jesus Christ, writing to you faithful believers in Ephesians. I greet you with the grace and peace poured into our lives by God, our Father, and our Master, Jesus Christ. Now, blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus. He's not only the Father, he is the Father, too. Takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid the foundation, laid the earth's foundations, he had us in mind and had settled on us as a focus of his love. You know, he loved you before you even came into this earth because he knew exactly what you were going to be and how he was going to use you and everything else. He made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishment chalked up by our misdeeds, and not just barely free, neither abundantly free. He threw everything provided to us, everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set all before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in the deepest heaven and everything on planet Earth. You know, everything's going to find its completion in Christ. A lot of them out there don't know that, They think they've got it all under control, and I'm going to tell you what, they don't. And I'm going to tell you, when it comes time, in the fullness of time, in God's timing and his plan, and you, through your obedience of doing what he tells you to do, you're going to find out that a lot of the people that you thought had it so together are the most untogether you ever seen in your life, because God's going to let them know that. And then as he lets them know that, and they come to him and they bow their knee and confess with their mouth, their life will be turned around and it'll be changed. Well, praise the Lord. That's about all I had to share with you today. I'm not going to say I hope this has ministered to you, because I know it's ministered to anybody that it was supposed to minister to. And anybody who didn't, I won't tell you put it on the shelf. I'll tell you let it go, and when it's time, God will bring it back, because his word never returns void. And if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to just have your way. You said if two or more gathered in my name, you're in the midst. And Father, I believe you're in our midst, and I know you dwell inside of us. But that intensity just increases as we come together. You told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but to actually increase it as we see the day approach. And Father, I know there's a lot of people that think they have all the answers, and they're going to go sit on the mountaintop. But Father, if they're not careful, they'll find themselves in a position like Balaam was. He was sitting up on the mountaintop. But what he should have been doing is going down and joining himself to Israel in the valley down below. And because of that, he was called a false prophet. And Father, I just ask you to just minister to your people today. And as we go forth, help us to even take this word that we've heard here today. Know that you preordained us for these things. You know, we're your children. We're growing up in you, and the more we grow up in you, the more authority you're going to release to us, and the more anointing you're going to give us, to the point that we'll speak the word only, and as we speak the word only, people will be set free. I give you all praise. I give you all glory. I give you all honor, because you alone are worthy of it all. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all.